Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvi navanitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so western side of the ocean, second wave. Verse 173. Okay, so now he's already gone through and described that the previous verse that the ayoga and yoga and their subdivisions that were given for the Gaura Priti then also apply to Preya and Vatsalya. They're the same as Sambrahma. Right, so whatever's been described in Sambrahma in the way of yoga and ayoga, that's the same for the Gaura Priti, Apreya, and Vatsalya. So that whole group, that all those rasas extending from the Samvit potency, they all have the same definitions. Mm-hmm. And so there'll be a common feature. Because you see, these three go together very well. The parents, the children, the servants, they're like one group. They're like the whole home scene. Then you'll see is that because when the parents are there, then you'll see that the cowherd boys are there, the servants are there. So they're all part of the Vatsalya scene. At the same time, so the cowherd boys go out, they have their relationships, but still the servants are included. And it's still, there's arrangements by the parents, like, because lunch means the parents arranged it. Does that make sense? So they all go together very nicely. Then the Shanta, then that has the paroksha, means, paroksha means what you've heard from others, as the ayoga. And the sakshatkara means then where it's been manifest, the fullness of that connection with the Lord. They've seen the Lord, and now that feeling is there. Does that make sense? So it's slightly different. And then he points out to the Jiva Goswami. And then in the Madhurya Rasa, then it'll be Vipralamba, Sambhog, and Purva Rag. So they're going to, because you had the yoga and ayoga utkantita. So that's the same for all those. And so for these guys, they don't have necessarily that aspect of separation. So you don't have to have that, any definition of utkantita for the shantaras. Right? Because they don't feel separation. But they before they've met Krishna and after they've met Krishna, there'll be a difference slightly in the, probably in the intensity and the maturity of that devotion. Does that make sense? So you don't need a new utkantita. But in the Madhurya, then Vipralamba and Sambhog will be the ayoga and yoga, right? But then the utkantita, that'll be Purva Rag. Right? So there's slightly different, approach to it. Because there'll be some slight difference. It's the same positions. The position's the same. But the subtler elements of it, the subtler tastes of it, and exchanges of it will be different. Because it'll be unique to that particular rasa. Because one is without possession, one is that has possession by that general kind of root, and then one will be very specific to confident. So, because sometimes when you add something, it just takes on, it changes it, but it has a general flavor. But you add more, and then it goes completely into a different area. Just like, let's say, if I can, let's say, make a dressing for the salad, and we're using, let's say, mayonnaise, and I don't, we make it ourselves.
Yeah, eggless.
If we make it ourselves, we would naturally be eggless. Use some milk, some olive oil, like that. You want to know fun? Is you put in the olive oil, you put two parts olive oil, one part butter. Very far out.
Wow. This is a high spot.
Yeah. So, in this, then, you could make it just like that and on its own, you know, like that and some salt, pepper, like this will work. But now you can also, let's say, put some mustard. And that'll just give it just enough to give a background, give a little kick. Now, if you put a lot, you can also put a lot of mustard, but then you call it a mustard dressing. You understand? So you don't have, and it's one thing. You add a little bit, so that's why you have the dasya. You add a little bit more, you get the friendship. You add a little bit more, you get the parental. But when it goes more than that, than conjugal, it's a different category. Does that make sense? And if you just put the oil and lemon and that, then you have the just, you know, the, what do you call it?
Shantana.
Yeah, the shantana. So it's just, it's the same, you're adding the ingredients and deepening. So each one, as it goes higher, includes all the other ones, but it doesn't mean it doesn't change the definition or flavor. You know, they're saying there's definitely an obvious, some slight difference, but they still, you would categorize it, they can be categorized together. Once it goes, so that way, that's why you see Bhaktivinoda, of course, categorizing the five rasas into what's coming from Sandini, well, from Sambit, Ladini. Because then the definition's different.
So a thousand island is Mahabharata.
Yes, exactly. does that make sense? So that's why you see there's these different categories, and we sometimes want to apply, how do they apply, but they have a very specific purpose. So when you're looking at this kind of flavor, these definitions, then these three divisions make very much sense. You know? If you're counting on active or not, then you say Shanta and then the other four. If you're counting the intimacy, then you're going to say that Shanta and Dasya are going to serve the intimate ones of friendship, parental, and conjugal. Does that make sense? You know, so in that way, you know, and if you're doing general definitions of just Stai Bhav, Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvika Bhav, and Vyabhichari Bhav, that's all five. Right? You know, so those would be there, but then when you get into this, when we're bringing in this yoga and ayoga, that's where we start to see. That's where you see that subtle difference on what's the flavor of the Sandini, Sambit, and Ladini.
Maharaj, can I ask, when we study all these classifications, different rasas and different shades of rasas and
right.
feeling, what is the objective for a devotee when he reads pastimes? What's expected to come out of reading a pastime? Is it to discover these nuances?
Yeah, to appreciate the nuances that are there. Because the point is that For a devotee, you know, who's come to this mature platform, then, you know, one of the definitions you can, because we'll tell, you know, pure devotee, pure unalloyed devotee,
yeah.
You know, and this kind of, you know, then you have the aspect of rasik, right? So they taste rasa.
They taste.
So the point is the sahajya's idea is that, oh, if it's conjugal rasa, we're only interested in that and not, or if we're, you know, the aspect of majesty, they only have an interest in that. No, that's the main. But all the other, it's about Krishna, it's always going to be attractive. So every aspect of rasa will be attractive, and you bring out and you understand the nature of what's going on. Let's say in Ram Lila, just that taste of Maryada, following the rules, and you know, because the rules become very prominent. So you see that a lot with also the Pandavas.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that Maryada aspect, at least with Yudhishthir, especially Yudhishthir, Arjuna, Kunti. You see, so many pastimes become like they're marrying Draupadis because of Maryada, because of the rules. She spoke it; it has to be true, you know. And then you know these kind of aspects. So. It has a particular flavor, and so then you can appreciate the flavor that's there. So it's just taste you can appreciate. One has one's own specific taste, but it's not that you don't appreciate all these others, because Krishna is the complete whole, includes all these tastes. He is rasa. We may have a particular relationship with him, but he is relationship. So then we, so that's how we appreciate all the other relationships that others have. So we appreciate, we would do, be involved in them. You know, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, is that all these other groups, we respect them, but we have our flavor and what we do. And so that it's very specific. So we don't have a problem with these others. I mean, you know, it's just like, let's say, Radharani is flying on a swan airplane with 10 million maidservants to go to the Rasastali. You know, so amazing, you know, taste that'll be there. But it's not what we want to be doing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, like that. So we can appreciate. And so you appreciate the subtleties of what happens, you know, Krishna and Rukmini and that whole pastime where he's
teasing her,
yeah, and then she faints, and like that. But that, it works there. It's a flavor you'll get there. You won't get that in Braj because of the left-wing aspect. You know, you might get it in another camp, but we're not going to be there. You know, so that's a place where you can appreciate it, but it's not part of our scene.
I guess that's the position of Maharaj Parikshit, who was hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami when he came to Brajila. He really found his spot.
Yeah.
And that's really where he got the nourishment.
Yeah, because it's all there. It's all nice. It's all good. But there's always your place. It's just like you go out and do so many things and appreciate so many things, but then you go home. You know? So like that, there's so many things that can be appreciated. But then there's the standard. There's the style. So that's the thing. They can appreciate all aspects. Because if not, then the pastimes become very narrow. You know, if they can only talk in a very, very narrow range, it won't work. But if we can do it outside of that.
I think Prabhupada did mention that for a devotee to hear about the universal form, or to hear about Brajlila, it's all about Krishna, devotee should relish it.
Yes, it's all Krishna, because it's that Braja Krishna, he's the one that's expanding as the universal form. So that's what gives it flavors, is that he's coming as the universal form. That means he's pervading everything. So he's personal, his pastimes go on in a wonderful way. So the universal form is simply the potencies that manage and manipulate the energies to bring out those experiences. So in other words, it's an emphasis on the jnana shakti and the mechanics of what it does that can be applied and get tastes. But you're just emphasizing that aspect. You know, while you talk about how Krishna is creating, doing all these different things and all that, then you're emphasizing the kriya. You know, so therefore, from Balaram right down to Paramatma, you know, and Sesha, then you're dealing with the kriya aspect. But when you talk universal form, how he pervades everything, how he's in it, like this, then you're talking more about the jnana aspect. Then the pastimes with the devotees, that's the Bhagavad, the Icha. So it's just a matter of which ones. So even within one of them, it's like you're hearing of the pastimes of Paramatma. So thing is that situation there is going to be an emphasis, is situated in, you could say, Kriya, but you're looking at the Bhagavad aspect of it. Or sometimes you're hearing about how he controls her, and sometimes how he pervades everything. So all three features within the one feature. It's just that's the point of taste. It's that what you do is you can have the variety of things. You know, it's just like, let's say, let's say you have a snack. So you have we have some fried things and a chutney. Right? And a drink. We'll call it a snack. But now let's say if I put into that rice, other sabjis, dal and all that, it's not a snack anymore, even though they're still there. The chutney has its place, the fries have its place, but they're not the central feature. It's just a matter, so the idea is that everything is always there, but it's just where it's situated and then where within that. So it has all these, it keeps going down. So you have the major aspect and then you have the minor and then one step. So Bhagavan is there, but so Paramatma, he's Bhagavan. But as Paramatma feature, then that's the Kriya aspect. So that's why he's a person, but you're talking about how he pervades everything, how he controls everything, he creates, he maintains, destroys. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about the Kriya aspect. No, he's a person. You know. And Bhagavan, it's not that there's not arrangements and all that, and the Kriya Jnana aren't working. You know, that they're there at Govardhan, and they're going to play, you know, they're playing some game like that, and then, what's it, that Palinda girl, she comes?
I don't remember her name.
Yeah. So she'll come and take part in the, you know, she'll take part, because she brings stuff from the forest, the jungles. That's the point, is the Palindas, they'll supply all the things, so they'll be part of basically the Sundini aspect of bringing. But she's involved in the conjugal pastimes. Well, I'm sure the other Palindas are more helping Nanda Baba and the cowherd boys like this, and you know that kind of aspect, that they're supplying what they need and everything. Because otherwise, where does all the musk and sandalwood and all that come from?
Yeah, the tribes live in the forest, right?
Yeah. The Palindas, yeah. So they're around there, so they're part of the scene, but they'll be more supplying. You know, it's just like, let's say, Vrinda, she's supplying, but within the conjugal rasa. You don't hear her supplying elements within the other rasas. Coward boys are there, or others. She's not there. Conjugal rasa, she's supplying. So it'll be more the sundini aspect within that conjugal. You know, and Yogamaya will be making arrangements, you know, Lalita will be arranging, you know, so many different things like that. Yogamaya will be arranging. That'll be more the Kriya aspect. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, we're running around yourself is Ladi, means that the, so that each aspect. So within the overall, then you have these divisions, and within that you have the divisions. You know. So that way then you also get, let's say, Shraddha the Prema. Then you can make them into their groups, you know, into the three groups that you have Shraddha, Sarvasanga, Bhajana, Kriya, Anartha, Nivriti, that will be in one group, then Nishta, Ruchi, and Asakti in another group, and then Bhava and Prema, then in the third, like that. Right? But then within that, you can take, and then you'll say the Kanista, the Madhya, and Uta, but then within that, you can take and divide that again by three. Right? So then Shraddha, Shraddha Sada Sangha, that would be the beginnings of the first part. Then Bhajana Kriya will be the middle, and Anartha Nivriti will be the end. You know, and then within the Madhyama, then Nishto will be the first, the Ruchi will be the middle, and then Asakti will be the upper part. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, and then you have Bhava, you have Prema, and then you have what's above Prema. You know, Sneha and above. So you can always take anything and divide it. And then you take let's say we take just Ruchi. So then the first part of Ruchi will have an aspect of Anartha Nivriti that, but we're stable, but there's still some, you know, major things to work with. Then you have the point where it's sort of stable, and that's the main thing. Stableness, that's what you're going to see. Then the last third, then you're going to see starting that beginning of a taste, the dawning of taste. But it's not enough you'd call it taste. It's still Nisha. Does that make sense?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his books, he divides it in a different way, which is the first four, as you mentioned, that's Kanishta, and then he puts Nishta as Madhyama, and then above that, that's Uttama, starting, you know, straight from Ruchi,
yeah.
Which is, like, I've never seen anybody but does it before.
Yeah, but so then you can understand. Means, now, let's look at it. Prabhupada said, I think I was told, I haven't come across it because it'll be in the Bengali, that Rupa Goswami mentions that Nishta starts at 60%, purified. You know, in other words, Anartha Nivriti is 60%. But Srila Prabhupada mentions 75. So that means it starts out, means that first, it just over the line, it's at 60. But that middle is going to be 75. So where does that put the end part of it? That puts it, you know, if we use that same kind of proportion, we'll put it around 85. So when you get into Ruchi, you're already dealing up at a very advanced. So Prabhupada says, Nishtha is the beginning of advanced devotional service. So that's another division. Is you would have the neophyte, and that is not advanced, but from the Madhyama, that's advanced. And so that just becomes more. There's the other aspect, which then I think is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is pointing out. The aspect of, since we have, you know, we've heard from Srila Prabhupada quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Baba is extending down. Baba, three aspects of Baba, not the whole all five, but three aspects, the Shravana Dasa, Varna Dasa, and Smarta Dasa, extend from the platform of Baba all the way down to Shraddha. Because bhakti is bhakti. It can't be less. Just because we're not pure doesn't mean it's not the same active ingredient. You know? Like sometimes a mistake is made in that when we say Nama Bas, we take it that the name is not pure. No, it's we're not pure. So it's our vision of the pure name is Nama Bas. The name's always. So when we say Shuddha Nam, means we're seeing in that. The name is the name all the way through. Otherwise, why would there be offense? Because if it's a cloudy name, what's the offense? You know what I'm saying? Because we tend to project our position on everything else. But Krishna is who he is, and then we're the ones that are covered. So then the same way is that projecting these means that Baba continues, because there is only bhakti, that there isn't something else that's transcendental. And so that chit shakti, that is expanding through all the things. That's why the chanting, that's why reading the books, this, that, hearing. So let's say we have this little funny machine over here, you know, and it has a little chip in it with all of Prabhupada's audio stuff on it. So one, some could complain that it's not the same as the original person speaking. But the point is it is, because it's not about the words, it's about the chit potency. So the chit potency is there in this funny little box. You know, you have those little dinky ones, you know, that just chant, you know, japa all day. Yeah, and they don't quite sound like the original, they're not quite good enough, but yeah, it still works. But it still has the same potency. You know, that's the thing, the chit potency is there. So we have to understand it doesn't have anything to do with us other than our willingness to take part, but we're not the power behind it. It's not our potency.
That argument came forward when Prabhupada was criticized for giving Gayatri a name.
Yeah. Oh, okay, all the way back to that.
Oh, yeah. And some of his goddesses, there's no power in it.
Yeah. You know,
Prabhupada said there is power.
Yeah. Point is, if there's no power, why are they opening temples and the ones complaining aren't?
That's right.
When push comes to shove, you know.
They're saying you have to hear it with a guru next to you, chant the Gayatri.
Yeah, that's the thing, because we take it that the ritual is the thing rather than the Lord's potencies. So that's why, that's the whole point, is why, going back to that, because this is where I think we started. Is that aspect of the universal form. You mentioned that. Universal form, discussions of that, or pastimes in Braj, are the same because it's Krishna, it's the same Krishna who is pervading everything. That's why then the pure devotee here can see where the universal, but he's not identifying stopping at universal form. If you're stopping there, that's then the what do you call it, the beginner stage or the immature stage, is you can't identify with a person, so you start to bring in the personal aspect into it. But it's the same universal form that devotees are used, that is fully transcendental, fully personal. That they're seeing the same items, but taking it all, the Krishna's the taste. But the point is he's taste, he's rasa, and then how his other pastimes and all that, and, you know, that aspect will come up. So the Shanta will get, you know, the Jnani will get one level, the Shanta will get another, but let's see, the devotees, well, they'll get another from the same position. So so then those who get caught up in this and all that, they will never be able to understand this. So this is a fun part, is even though the Acharya, their Acharya, means our, you know, Acharya, that the Acharya, his point was, is that Drigdrishtam Achar, is that you're not seeing, you're able to take part in seeing part of what Krishna's already seeing. I'm thinking, I see this. No, Krishna's seeing that, and we, by our position, can tap into that and also see that aspect. But we're only seeing because Krishna's seeing. It's like if the sun's not up, we don't see. Because he sees, we see. So that's how it works. So then, but still, then they come up with these things. Because they don't understand the potency that's there. That's the point of the parampara. It's not the rituals, this and that. You know, it's like so many things that comes up like last few days. Then, you know, always the question of what should the disciples do? Should it be fasting? Should they only eat ekadasi? You know, should they stand on their head? You know, should they only pick their, you know, left nostril with their right finger? You know, finger from a right hand, and even that, just a little finger. You know, it's just they get into all these things. It's like, what does that got to do with anything? You know, it's like, you know, the spiritual master is this. You know what I'm saying? It's about the remembrance of this, the following the order. That's the, you know, so somehow the Vapu becomes the top instead of, no, it's the Vani. It's still the Vani. Does that make sense? So these kind of elements then get distracting. We take the external. And that, you know, that's the aspect of the Ramananda Rai's discussion with Lord Chaitanya, is that these external things, it's not that we don't practice them. He just said it's external. He didn't say we don't follow it. Mm-hmm. Like he starts off with performing your duties to please the Lord. You know, that is karma yoga. That's the first six chapters of Gita basically are describing that. So it's a bona fide thing, but he's saying it's external. Meaning it's just the consideration of your conditioned nature. What about the consideration of you? It means that you're doing it to please Krishna. Yes, if you accept it, I'm a servant. But the point is who are you as a servant? You know, what are all the different moods and that whole process of surrender? That's there. So he's pushing him till he gets to that conversation. Then from that, then you start up through the five rasas, get to the conjugal, you know, like that, and then get to Radharani and so on like this. But it'll be taken that, oh, we don't follow Varnashram because Lord Chaitanya rejected it. It's kind of like so many. Why didn't Lord Chaitanya do so many things? Because of Varnashram. So the pastimes were nicely controlled by the Varnashram. It sets an environment. Like if you have a game and there's no rules, how fun is it? You
know, that's that's the kids' game.
Yeah, that's
the
issue. They change it. You know, in other words, they make a rule that they think will be favorable for themselves. And then when it's not, they change the rule on the spot. You know, and then they fight over that. And then, you know, whatever it is, whoever wins, then that's the new rule. And yeah. You know, like
that puts to rest the outrageous statement that some people have made in the past. And they still do the prophet and not give everything.
Yeah.
Not that actually he gave
everything. No, he gave everything. He gave everything and beyond. Just the thing is, if you're not qualified, you can't see it.
That's right.
You know. Yes.
We just recently read this Prabhupada that explains Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva using this example, and he's saying, I'm not this gramophone. He's saying gramophone.
Right, yeah.
But then he says, my potency are recorded in the... But I'm not that.
Right.
So he says, it's... What is... He's giving that example in the context of Swamsa and Vibhinamsa. He says, like Krishna, you know, he is who he is and his potency are everywhere.
Right.
But he's not that.
Yes.
So you can hear my voice in the gramophone.
Right.
But I'm not there.
Right.
And simultaneously, I am there.
Yes.
This is a genius example.
Yeah,
it's saying gramophone. I was thinking I was trying to explain to devotees what's gramophone. They don't know what it is.
Yeah. But you also need it. You have to have a dog sitting peacefully there listening.
No,
I think because that company was... I mean, now they have it down there, but it's originally called His Master's Voice.
His Master's Voice.
Yeah.
I went somewhere to...
Yeah.
With a big needle.
Yeah. it turned like this, yeah. Yeah, it was very far out.
not a car.
Yeah, because we take it that a car means a motor, but a car means a vehicle that carries you. You know, like a chariot's a car. Then you put a motor on it. Or America, they used to call it the getting horseless carriage. Because they were just a carriage that they, you know, put a little lever on. They didn't even have it driving the steering wheel. They just had a long lever that you kind of moved to the right and left. Okay, so is that all clear that we have the same positions but different definitions? And why these different definitions? Because they're slightly different flavors. So the subtleties that are there. Oh, no, we didn't finish that one explanation. So, therefore, because bhava is extended down through everything, then that's what makes it work. It's the working, in other words, bhava is the working principle. And so it's the neutral state between material consciousness and prema. You know, it's transcendental. So that's why then shraddha is transcendental. You know, and then we start. But then it's also pointed out that the natural form, in other words, these aren't the full form, you could say, or the natural form is that only shraddha, or only sadhu sangha, or only bhajana kriya. Right? So the natural form is that bhava, someone is, you know, perfectly situated in the association of devotees with that, you know, proper faith. And without any, anartis. You know, they're nicely situated there. Does that make sense? So that's why then nishta becomes that position where now you're situated, but it doesn't have that dynamic. You could say it's situational, but then the taste comes in at ruchi. So now ruchi and asakti will be the natural forms of bhava, but without the intensity. So it's not called bhava. It's only bhava because the intensity is so great. So that's how then you can take ruchi and asakti and put them together with the uttama aspect. But in any case, our definition of the madhyama is because we can function within those, we'll still function as a madhyama. You know? Does that make sense? Because a lot of times you'll see those who then do come, as sadhakas, come to the platform of bhava, you may or may not see them so dynamically involved. But those who come down, you know, come down into the past tense, they're already in platform, you know, the prema. So but they're already on that side, so they come down and they take that part of the madhyama. You know, does that make sense? So they'll completely play the role, even though someone is a sadhaka going up may or may not always be.
So that makes sense. Yeah. It's interesting that point because you see devotees who join Krishna consciousness, like, you know, early days and even ourselves, you know, and the struggle just to get through the sadhana and the faith. And you have devotees who join and it's just, you know, they're just swimming. It's like they join the radio and the Madhya platform.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you see, it's like we've just had, it'll probably come up with Bhakti Chuma.
Bhakti Chuma.
It's like that. It's like, I think in 3 months he got first and second, and then after a year he got sannyas.
6 months. 6 months he got
sannyas. After 6 months he got sannyas. Oh, okay, even better. So 3 months he got first and second together, and 6 months he got sannyas. So that's an example.
Same thing with Lord Vrindavan. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Well, you see, it's that. Also there at the end, I think, we didn't know what was going on, but I think some of Prabhupada's godbrothers came in, and he was, you know, like, he was seemingly oblivious to the world, and he was doing these far out things, his hands were like going like this in the air. They were wondering, well, what's going on, you know? Like that, they said, oh, these are Sattvic Bhavas.
Yeah.
So that's what we're meaning, is that on that Uttam platform, they may or may not take part in the preaching activity. So if somebody, not, then they'll get focused. But otherwise, they get off in that. What you see is that, you know, Prabhupada comes and the six Goswamis come and that. They always do madhyama stuff. It's very rare that they might go out of that. It's just for a moment, and then they're, you know, they're always trying not to do that. So that's what we're meaning. So that's why from our perspective, we would take it, these two work, and that's on that side. Well, from when they come down to set, you know, it's they're already preaching.
But it comes out in their writings.
That's there, of course. It's there. Right. But what I'm saying is just where you put the line, because we're just talking about, because there always is that element. Is it this or is it that? You know, it can't be, it can't have both, because it's just how you're defining. You use different terminology. So the point is you'll say that, in other words, someone on the platform of Ruchi and Sakti are more like a person on Bhava than someone on Nishta.
Mm.
But at the same time, as then we could say, oh, so they're not advanced. But no, someone who was on Nishta is more like someone on Ruchi and Sakti than someone on the first four levels. That's the neophyte level. There's a big gap there. And then the other gap is quite small. Like that. Well, we tend to take to, you know, make it even, you know, even or even, you know, the gap on the other side, you know. But the gap is actually there.
But it's a dangerous game to try to, because sometimes you try to look at a devotee, you wonder, you know, what category does it fall in? It's a fine line, because you can become offensive by trying to judge, even with good intention.
Yeah, because the point is we're not. You can only appreciate, I mean, you can only understand from what a level you are at. You can appreciate from definitions that are given.
Yes.
Like that. So we can appreciate, oh, okay. So by that, the people on the platform, the Uttama platform, that we would say from Brahma Bhuta and up, you know, using that, then they have these particular symptoms. You see a symptom, okay, by that we can understand what it is. We don't understand it. We don't, you know, appreciate it. You know, like I remember hearing one Uttama devotee, he was saying that they were talking about somebody else who was being, you know, very prominently discussed as, you know, on a very advanced platform and all that. And you know, because I think this one devotee, they were discussing something with him, and he was saying, you know, what's happening? And, you know, who that is. And then they asked, who's this? You know, like this. And then they said who he is. And explained everything about his connection and everything, you know, where he says his connection is and all that. And then the devotee just stopped for a minute and go, I've never seen him there. So then it was kind of like, oops. Okay. That's out of our league. You know, we won't say anything more. They were just making the point. It's not just like in my, you know, in there, because they would like, I think, 6 hours in the evening when everyone goes to sleep, they would just sit there and do you know, meditation in Bhava Sadhana. So the whole point was is that, you know, they were saying that they're not in the pastimes there. You know. Not in that aspect. You know, so, okay.
Discussion is over.
Sorry?
The discussion is over.
Yeah, discussion's over. It's just like, go move on to something else. You know, like, tomorrow's Ekadasi. Are you fasting? Or, you know, bring it down to our level. No. So, like that. So, we can just go by symptoms. Like that. What your level is, you can see that and below, but you can't see what's above. You can appreciate, but you won't be able to just like in the same thing, you'll understand your rasa, but you'll appreciate others. Mm. You know? So therefore the Brajbasis can appreciate, and yeah, that's why they go to Mathura and you know, with the Dwarkavasa, and they're quite happy, you know, they're you know, they interact and everything. Because Krishna is the common point. There might be slightly different flavors and all that, but there's a common point. Does that work? Yeah. Okay, so now going on, now he's talking about separation before first meeting and after. 32173. Separation before the first meeting. Oh, beautiful faced Rati, the ferocious enemy Shambhara, who was a pile of dangers, that's interesting, a pile, just, you know, so many dangers stacked up, has been destroyed. But when will we see Krishna, my father, with complexion of a rain cloud, holding the Panchajanya Kansha? Footnote 30. Prajuna had not seen his father since birth. Thus, this statement is an example of utkantitam. And 32174, separation after meeting. Since their father went to Indraprastha, my mind has no desire to practice weaponry or to play ball, though I am very fond of it. Dwarka now seems like a prison, Srila Prabhupada. Pradyumna's attachment and anxiety for Krishna was explained when he said to his wife Rati. So he said attachment and anxiety, another way of saying before the first meeting. Right? So it's ukantita. Right? Was expressed when he said to his wife Rati, the enemy Shambhara is already killed. Now I am very anxious to see my father, who is my spiritual master and always carries the conch shell, known as Panchajanya. Pradyumna felt great separation from Krishna when he was absent from Dwarka at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He said, since my father has left Dwarka, I do not take much pleasure in practicing fighting, nor am I interested in any kind of sporting pastimes. And what need is there to speak of these things? I do not even wish to stay at Dwarka in the absence of my father. As he sees, that's a, you know, the point you were making before about sometimes it's the said about, you know, Prabhupada didn't give everything. But here is, we just don't know the wording. We don't understand the words because it's separation and the anxiety and separation that's there. Because the second time he just says, I'm not interested. I don't take, it's just direct. Well, the other one is anxiousness. What did he say? Attachment and anxiety. So we can see from the symptoms that it's two different things. Yes.
So it seems that the second is always stronger than the previous.
Yes,
one.
Yes. It'll always be. So that's the whole point is that if there's separation, then when there's, you know, in this case that we're not here is when there's ayoga, you know, so ukantita. That's going to be intense, but not as intense as already having met Krishna, that ayoga.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point is that because of that ayoga, now when you meet Krishna, that will be greater, more intense. Mm-hmm. But then, the separation, and then that's going to be more intense than it was previously. Mm-hmm. But now, that will cause now the yoga to be even more intense than it was previously. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. So that way they naturally nourish. But once you that utkantikata will always be that preliminary, that is intense, but not as much as once they've met Krishna. Yeah. 3.2.175, meeting for the first time. So he's showing that the difference between the two, and now the actual meeting, because you know you have to have met to get to make the distinction. But if you put it in between, you might not understand the two. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because we would logically put, okay, one, then the meeting, then the this. But the point is, you're comparing the two, yoga and ayoga. When those are compared, then there's the meeting aspect. That's what then makes the difference. When Pradyumna, arriving from Shambhara's city, saw his father in front of him for the first time, though he was by nature very sober, out of great joy he forgot himself and thought, who am I? 3.2.176. Right, so then that, you know, some particular Vyabhicharis are there. No? Meeting Krishna again. When Krishna arrived from Indraprastha riding on Garuda, all his sons became very excited with bliss. Srila Prabhupada. When Pradyumna came back home after killing Sambarasara, Asura, and saw his father Krishna before him, he once became so overjoyed that he himself could not understand his joy on that occasion. This is an instance of success in separation. A similar satisfaction, so we see, like you're saying, the joy is so much, before he is in Ukantita, it's very intense and it has a particular taste. But now when he sees Krishna, the taste is so much greater that he doesn't even know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
To compare the two, it's like, you know, that was it, and then this. It's like, what is this? You know. A similar satisfaction was observed when Krishna returned from the battlefield of Kurukshetra to his home at Dwarka. All of his sons were so overjoyed that out of ecstasy they repeatedly made many mistakes. These mistakes were a sign of complete satisfaction. Because you're trying to do and get it because there's something you want to attain, but there's nothing, they've already attained what they want. They're the father, so whatever they're doing, they may be making all these mistakes. So, you know, these things. Yeah, it would be just like sometimes you see the aspect, it means men don't catch it, but women catch it. There's another, one of their group is, you know, let's say you have young girls or you know, whatever it is, they're just these girls. And you know, they always have their very focus and what they're doing and who they are and everything and, you know, really putting in their effort. But then, you know, one day they see one of their associates isn't putting in that same effort, but at the same time she's happy. Because normally if you're not putting in the effort, you're not happy. Something's bothering you so you can't focus, you know, and that's why you're making mistakes and all that. But she's happy and she's making mistakes or not caring or not worrying, that then they know that, that comes from satisfaction. So that means somebody's there that's causing that. Right? Generally, men don't catch that, but the women will immediately go, oh, that, and she's trying to hide it and this and that. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the... Yeah, so they're making all these mistakes because they're, you know, complete satisfaction. Because they wanted to meet their father, and now he's there. You know, he came back. And so then they're doing all these things that's wrong, but they don't really, they're not getting upset with it. You know, they're just doing it because they're not focusing. Because the goal is already attained. 32177. Permanent association. So then, you know, like that, so then it comes, it goes, but then when it becomes permanent. Because you may meet, the first time meeting is going to have some meeting again, that's another, but when it's permanent, that has a different flavor. So all these, you know, have different positions in their taste and rasa. Slightly contracting his eyes while his eyelids became soaked with tears, Prajumna offered respects to his father's 2 feet, his father's 2 feet every day. Srila Prabhupada. Every day Prajumna looked over Krishna's lotus feet with tears in his eyes. These signs of reverential devotion on the part of Prajumna may be described in the same way they have been described in the cases of other devotees. 32178. Right, because we see the parental rasa. You know, we talk about Nanda, Jashoda, you know, and Devaki and Vasudev. We don't talk about Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? There. Because he's in the this other aspect of reverential devotion. You know, in Braj it has less of a thing, but it's still that thing, because you see Mother Jashoda comes with the rope. And then Krishna is, you know, I've made a mistake, you know, yes, please forgive me. Like that, so that aspect is there. So that those two go together. So it's an aspect of servitorship, but it has that reverential devotion. It has that intimacy. So it doesn't have the formality of the other one. So that's the difficulty: is parents either don't take care, or children don't have that respect, and so then there's no parental rasa. No parental rasa. You know, people grow up weird. You know, it's like you have that, what do you call it? That some of the, I don't know about all of them, but some of the monkeys, that they're constantly being touched and caught like that. So if they grow up on their own with no one touching them, they become weird. They don't mature. They stay like kids. So it's another aspect of the rasa, is that it brings out, is that's how the children are dealing with the parents, and going, oh, why it's like this and that, because that's what the rasa is. You know, sometimes your parents, the little kids, oh, we're like equals. No, you're not. When you're 16, now you're equals. You know, there'll of course be some difference, but the point is now you can deal. They'll maintain their reverence, but you deal as an equal. But before that, no, it won't be. So, yeah. 32178. The wise will understand that utkantitam, viyoga and yoga, so viyoga or ayoga are the same. For the gaura priti rasa, which have been here described very briefly, are similar to the utkantitam, viyoga and yoga of some brahma priti rasa. Right? The means technically they're the same, but there's some slight difference in the flavor because of the two rasas. Otherwise, why call them two different rasas? But the mechanics of it, how it works and all that, is the same. So there's not going to be any different kind of pattern in there. You'll see the same pattern at all. End of the second wave of the western section, called Priti Bhakti Rasa. Okay. So this is from the time. So the rest of it's from Jiva Dharma.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is the end of the fourth wave.
No, the second wave.
Oh.
The second wave in the third section.
Oh. Okay.
Third section of Western. The third. So second. So then I guess Payo, or friendship, will be the third, mm-hmm. and then parental will be the fourth, country will be the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
An excerpt from Jiva Dharma, chapter 29. Goswami. So one thing you can do in this is, it says Goswami, have a comma. Better that it's a colon. You know, that makes it more clear that it's something else. Spiritual teachers also designate Dasya Rasa as Prita Bhakti Rasa, pleasurable, devotional, mellow. The Lord's servitors receiving his favor are of two kinds. Dasya, those who consider themselves his subordinate servicers, and Lalya, those who consider themselves personally maintained and watched over by him. Right. Thus, Priti Bhakti Rasa is divided into the two, Sambrahma Prita Dasya, respectful service, and Gaurav Prita Dasya, the attitude of maintained dependence. So it's still within Dasya Rasa. Brajana. Kindly elucidate Sambrahma Prita Rasa. Goswami. Sambrahma Priti. Reverential affection. What would be the difference in the Prita and Priti? You explained grammar the other day or something. It's a strike, same thing, but they're coming from a different grammatical angle. You don't remember? Okay. Sambrahma Priti. Reverential affection. That's the one problem with if you have vata, you know, as part of the nature, you catch it immediately, but then you explain everything, and then, you know, a couple of days later, say, can you explain that again? You don't remember anything.
Sometimes it's very embarrassing.
Yeah, you know, it's because you get it, but you have to have whatever it is to work from, and then you go back into it. And then after a long time, it may stick going to the. You know, well, then kapha won't catch it, and once they do, they'll never forget it. You know,
yeah.
And like the elephant or something. And then, from what I understand, the pita will catch quickly, but also be able to retain. Hence, Goswami.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, catches everything, remembers everything. Okay, Goswami. Sambrahma Priti, reverential affection towards Rajendrananda Krishna, appears in those devotees whose self-conception is, I am servant of Krishna. As this Priti progressively deepens, it manifests Sambrahma Priti Rasa. As the mellow of reverential service, Krishna's servants, Krishna and his servants are the alambana of this rasa. Yeah. So Krishna will be the vishaya and his servants will be the ashraya. Vrajana, what is the sarup of Krishna related to Sambrahma Priti Rasa? Goswami, Gokula Krishna in its original two-handed form is the object of Sambrahma Priti Rasa. However, additionally, as the object of this rasa, Krishna may manifest his opulent two-handed form in some spiritual regions and other regions, his opulent four-handed form. As the two-handed Krishna playing the flute in Gokula, he wears a peacock feather in his crown and is dressed as a cowherd boy. However, in other spiritual regions, the two-handed Krishna is dressed opulently with ornaments and jewels. But it doesn't mean he doesn't have the peacock feather, but it's not as prominent. You know, he Vrindavan, he has a peacock feather. You know, that's the very prominent element. In other, you know, in the other other regions, spiritual regions, then it's the opulence that's the main thing, and he has a peacock feather. Does that make sense? So it's not, it doesn't have the prominence of the...
In other words, there are peacocks not just in Vrindavan, there are peacocks in other places.
Yeah, peacocks are everywhere. I mean, it's just around here. I think it's one of the times, I think one of the first times I actually had an interaction with a peacock. You know, because in Vrindavan you see them, but they're always in the tree, and when you get close, they go away. Yeah. But it was in New Vrindavan. And there's an area, one lake or something, where they all are, and you go over there. And then as soon as you come, you know, because you come there, and they just stand there, so you stop, and, you know, how often do you're, you know, just a few feet from a peacock. And then they start to dance, you know. And I was with someone else, you know, like that, and they're doing their dance, so they put their feathers fully out, and, you know, and then they have those, I think it's like covers for their feathers. The short little, regular, like other birds, that would be their wings or something, or something. Then they move those kind of up and down, you know, alternatively on the sides while they do that, and then they move back and forth and do that whole thing. So I was that, and I turned to say something to one of the things. Immediately, the peacock turned and whacked me with the plume. You know, so you get attention. As soon as he did that, then he went back into his form. And he's dancing, you're watching. He's not wasting his time. Like that, so yeah. They're pretty far out like that. Yes.
The Prita, when we say Prita Rasa, it means like being pleased. We say Priti, means it's for the pleasure of someone. That's how it's described in English.
Oh, Prita and Priti. So Prita, they're pleased by it, and Priti, they're pleasing Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Alambana and Vishaya. Which one you're bringing up? Okay, nice.
The seeing the meanings of Prita and Priti.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because both are there. They're pleased by it, and they're pleasing Krishna. Mm. So it's just a difference on how they're pleasing. So the Gaura will have that aspect of being, you know, that they're being pleased because they are maintained by Krishna. The others are meant, you know, by the service. In this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami writes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Western Division 235, Sri Hari Krishna, Sri Hari Krishna, Sri Hari Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, embellished with innumerable transcendental qualities, is the embodied alambana for the bhakti ras tasted by the four kinds of dasya bhaktas, respectful servitors. Sri Hari Krishna is Koti Brahmanda Vigraha, the transcendental body wherein millions of universes are lodged in every pore. He is Kripam Buddhi, an ocean of compassion, whose achintya maha shakti, inconceivable awesome potency, is unfathomable by human intellect. He is sarva siddhi nishevita, the repository? I'm not sure. I have to check. You have to look up if repertory is a word.
Yeah,
it's a word.
Yeah.
What does it say? Mean?
Here you get only synonyms of staging, production, or performance, something.
Okay. Yeah, the one who performs all mystic perfections with a stage. Yeah, the stage of all. So that means he's the stage and he's the one performing it.
Yeah.
You know, and he's the taste you get from that performance. And avataravali bija, the primeval cause of all the varieties of incarnations, such as the guna avatars, lila avatars, and shaktivesha avatars. Okay. So the repertory is where the repertoire is applied, when you see it. Okay. Well, that's far enough. And if you go back far enough, English isn't so bad.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing in Bengali or English?
I'm not sure.
Oh, the Jiva Dharma.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Bengali.
It's Bengali. It's not. Depends who translated it.
Yeah.
It might be this is Sarvabhava. Because he always used really, really fancy words. You know, really nice, very exact. But his poetics was the words, not necessarily the flow. That was Gopi Pranadana. He was just how it flowed. It was just so poetic, very simple, but very, you know, it was proper. But, he is Atmarama Gana Karshi. As he charms the Atmaramas, self-satisfied yogis, including the most illustrious Sukadeva Goswami. He is the Ishwar who controls and regulates everything and is thus Paramaradhya, the supreme object of worship of the Jivas and Devas alike. He is Sarvajna, omniscient, Suvridvrata, infallible in his vow, Samriddhiman, absolutely opulent. Absolutely opulent, not just opulent, absolutely opulent. Shama Shila, forgiving. And Sharanagata Palaka, the protector of the devotees who have taken his shelter. He is Dakshina, the supreme icon of liberality and munificence. And Satyavacha, that's interesting, Dakshina, liberality and munificence. That's also, you see, is that's the Dakshinas are also the, you know, how you say? They, you know, how you say, argue the most in that with Krishna. Mm-hmm. You know, but you see Krishna taking that mood of the Dakshina Nayaka, then you have the compassion of the Sankirtan mission. And Satyavachana, as his words are always truth and never prove false. He is Daksha, unlimitedly expert, and Sarva Shubhankara. He is always acts as everyone's well-wisher and benefactor. Like so, like the expert in that, the whole creation is going on under his direction and all that, and so how he pervades and all that, and just like that from that aspect. Or he's expert in how he, you know, the arrangements he makes and the perfections that he does, how nicely he does everything like that. Then that would be another group. And then his, you know, the expertise in how just the subtleties of the rasa and everything, and how he unfolds that in the interaction. Does that make sense? So that means these same qualities, as you see them, are going to have their flavors in these three categories of rasa. Does that sound like something? You know, just which you're bringing out more. And he always acts as everyone's well-wisher and benefactor. Sarva Shubhankara. He is Pratapi, majestic and valorous, and dharmika, the symbol of religiosity. He is always Shastra Chakshus, seeing through the eye of scriptures. Bhakta Sufi, the best friend of his devotees. Varanya, magnanimous. Tejasvi, radiant, influential, valorous, and most powerful. Radiant. Tejasvi, radiant, influential, valorous, and most powerful. Kritagya, grateful. Kritaman, famous. Vadiyan, the performer of wonderful deeds. Superior to everyone. Balaban, the most powerful. And Premavasya, subjugated by the love of his devotees. Okay, so that was an answer to... What is it? What is the sarup of Krishna related to sambrahma or priti rasa? So all these qualities and all that, that's what then is the form of Krishna, that how they're attracted and all that. So those will be your basic aspects of, you know, that and what's connected with that will be the udipan. You know, so the Krishna in this form, he's the vishaya, not the ashraya, for the love, affection, for this form. Does that make sense? And then things that happen within those, that's then will be the cause for their interaction. Vrajana, what are the four kinds of dasa? Goswami, they are Adikrita dasa, qualified servants, Ashrita dasa, sheltered servants, Parishada dasa, constant, trustworthy companions, and Anugata dasa, obedient followers. Adikrita dasa indicates that the servitor is qualified for a particular service to the Lord by always considering himself the property of his master. This servitor always indulges his master and maintains a meek and humble disposition before the Lord. An Ashrita dasa has the mood of having taken complete shelter of his Lord and is always ready to fully execute his master's orders. So you see, they have they surrendered and they're always ready to follow the orders. Well, the Ashrita, I mean, that was for the Adikrita, they're specifically qualified for a particular service and they're always ready to do that service. So there's always that surrender, but it has that aspect of they do this kind of service. You know? Something like Jayan Vijay, they do that service. They're specifically qualified for that. The Parishad Dasa is a constant companion and associate. So here the definition goes beyond. So here we'll see demigods and that's in that kind of position. But the same as we can see is it also expands beyond that aspect. They are very specific service that they do. And that's the identity. The Parishad is a constant companion and associate, trustworthy and loyal. So like Parishad, you have Uddhava. But it's not that he also has a very specific, he's the prime minister. But that's not the major thing. It's the constant companion, associate, trustworthy and loyal. That's the more prominent aspect. So we see in all of them, they'll have, I'm sure Raktaka does specific services. But it's not so much necessarily that prominent identity. Does that make sense? But it's part of it. Does that make sense? Yes.
Yesterday, one devotee asked us about four kinds of liberation. And the question was, isn't it all like this, all inclusive? Like they're at the same planet and they have a similar form. So it's the same kind of principle. It's where the emphasis is. It's all in there.
Yes.
But also, what is a specific? What is
yes.
their identity
yes,
based
yes.
on?
Yes, yes. Just like, let's say, an example of there's some special program and all that, and so who's who is there at this program. And let's say you have a very dignified personality that is, the prominent person at this event. And so then they're moving around, they're talking with people, and a whole group of people are around them, moving with them. Now, let's say, and all of them, you could say, in their own way, are all qualified, basically, they're all qualified, like this. But now, let us say, while they're moving around, this prominent personality, the people that are generally always have that point that they're always with them, then they're just going to be sober and just, looking out for what's going to be the unfolding of that interaction that happens by just being there. But now you have the other guy, he's just as qualified as all those others, but he's got this, ridiculous grin on his face and is trying to at every moment get someone to take a picture of him and all that and send it to him so he has, a picture of, I'm with the guy. So it's the same thing, they're associates, but the flavor is different, so you don't call him an associate. He's going to be, that's this Adikrita aspect. I'm, hey, check me out. I'm with the big.
Yeah.
Like that. It's like you see, sometimes you go, there's certain, let's say, classically really famous restaurants. It's not that they just came up now, but they've been, long, for, they're just known as, the restaurant in their area. And depending upon the restaurant, occasionally you have those kind of restaurants, you'll have a wall that has all pictures on it, where it's the head of the restaurant with these different, prominent personalities that come to the restaurant.
Yeah.
That, so it's different than then you know other restaurants, they won't have those pictures, because you know we're of course these people come to our restaurant. It's we're at the natural level for them to come to. You understand?
Yeah.
Though both of them are probably equally as good at cooks, and the quality of what they have is the same, but the mood is different. So that's why then you see, what did he say? Constant companion, associate, trustworthy, loyal. Well, the other one is not necessarily. Like Indra's and Adikrita, he's not always trustworthy and loyal. But you see, as when it comes up, then you see, so that doesn't... But qualified for a particular service by the Lord, always considering himself the property of his master, this servitor always indulges his master and maintains a meek and humble disposition before the Lord. So when he is before the Lord, he does like this. But when he's not with the Lord, sometimes he forgets this. So he's not a parishad. He's not a krita. Right?
Yeah.
And he's not ashuta, has the mood of having complete service of the Lord and always ready to fulfill. He's not there. He's defined by the first one. So in other words, the Adikrita demigods fit into their categories, not the Ashrita are demigods.
Mm.
Does that make sense? So they're the natural example you give. Demigods are like that. Is that okay? Then, the submissive, affectionate Anugata Dasa always considers his lords as Prabhu, and is thus fully compliant with the desires of his master. So there's that. It's an attitude of the Prabhu and always compliant. While you see is that the Ashrita, taking complete shelter, is always ready to fulfill. So it's a slight difference of the angle. It's a slight. The does that make sense? It's a little more formal, a little less formal. But the position is they're always doing service. So the Ashrita and the Anugata, they're always have that. But we get the idea. The Anugata is generally. Is the servants that are always with. So it's of the two, yeah. So slightly different flavors of these four. Yes?
Mainly the flavor of Anugata is that wherever the master is, whatever he's doing, he's okay with it, because for him there is nothing else separate in that sense. Especially these Anugata devotees, maybe in the Lord's home and then.
So whatever is going on, he's cool with it. Well, the servant is a little more formal.
Yes.
It's that I've surrendered, I'm ready to do service. Well, the Anugatas are generally with the Lord, and just whatever is going on is cool. So in other words, they're the ones that you're talking something with someone. You know, in other words, the Parishads are talking something with Krishna, and Anugata's there, but you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But if they were, let's say, an Ashrita, or an Adikrita, you might not discuss those things.
Something that came to mind. What?
Oh, I think good. About that restaurant.
I wanted to talk. I mean, I could have mentioned how people drive kilometers to taste a specific hummus in Israel. Right? There are places only hummus in the Tabri.
Yeah.
And they won't go anywhere else with these ones.
Yeah, no.
And they'll swear by it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. And it gets around and it gets the thing. And so then, you know, and then, you know, how you say then you have pictures on the wall there, the Zohan is there, and with the hummus.
Well, the pictures, sorry, on the wall, it's very much part of the Druze culture.
Huh?
You enter their house and they have like, because they build their house.
Okay.
And this is particular design. You enter, there's like a reception room.
Okay, yeah.
And everywhere those pictures, and I remember that. And some of them, remember, came to Mayapur like 20 years back.
Oh, okay.
So now they have picture of Krishna and Jayaprakash Maharaj on their wall. Only a few, it was like group of 25.
Yeah,
Druze Sheikh, and they came.
Okay.
So it's far out. And the more pictures you have with more like, dignitaries,
uh-huh.
that you hire in society.
So he's a 50 picture, you know, voila. He's only at 30 pictures.
Yes. Yes, and it's very, very important for them.
Okay.
It's like,
yeah, because you also see a lot of times in Italy, you'll see that, it's very common.
But the top is when the picture is actually signed.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. The video was so good. Signed. Yeah. That's a comment only that the Sikhs can bring out.
In Dallas at the Kalachandri restaurant, they have a wall.
Yeah.
The pictures.
Okay.
Really?
Wow. That's cool.
Anyway, I wanted to ask in terms of...
because he was just about to explain about how Shiv Sagar in Bombay they have there. Okay.
Next to the temple, we have this one restaurant. They not only have pictures of the current one, but the previous generations, how they were with the kings and all. Like,
oh, wow. Going back that far. That's a good restaurant.
Oh, yeah. It was not a restaurant at that time, but it's like from their generations we are like this. Right.
Yes, sir.
So, in the 11th canto, we see Krishna is teaching Uddhava. Mm. But a short distance away is Maitreya Rishi is there. So there is a certain rasa between Krishna and Buddha on the southern platform. Mm-hmm. What's the position of Maitreya Rishi there? That he doesn't come close, he gets to hear.
Because it's not his conversation.
Right.
So then you just keep whatever's the, you know, would be the appropriate distance and that for whatever you're supposed to be doing and they're doing. Like the sages of Nagashanya, they would be, you know, Shanaka would be sitting right at the front. The other sages would be according to their position.
Right.
You know, or same with Sukadeva Goswami. Then Parikad Maharaj is sitting there and others would be sitting according to positions. So.
But Maitreya was just walking around and said, oh, Krishna's here. I mean, it must have been planned that way that he...
Yeah, because he'd want him to hear, because otherwise then I think after that he also explains to his
Vidura.
You know, because he wants that to go to Vidura, then, you know, from that it'll come. So in other words, the teachings of Maitreya to Vidura, that's the same teachings, but it may be that it doesn't have the fineness that it will, or the subtlety that it will in the 11th canto. Because
right.
That'll be then what Uddhava understood. Well, then, before the 4th canto, I think it's 4th canto?
Third canto.
Huh?
Third
canto. That will be, what Maitreya understood and then discussed with Vidura.
It's in the level of Paramatma because it comes in the Paramatma Sandarbha.
Okay. And 11th canto, that is?
It's like all the aspects are there.
Okay, so it's going beyond.
All this, yes.
So they're talking more than Paramatma. Because you're dealing with Vidura then also as Dharmaraj and seeing how things and how everything fits into place and relationship of everything with everything else and apply it. You know, so same knowledge, just different levels. So, you know, so they want him to hear,
yeah.
But at the same time, what he'll capture will be slightly different, or how he'll apply it will be slightly different. You know, so he wouldn't have the same as a Parishan, you know, aspect. Yes.
Also, there is that thing that they are senior in age. Then it's not like completely fixed. Like here, it doesn't mention about those seniors like Ugrasen Maharaj and others. Though they are also fall into the category of Dasya,
mm-hmm.
But because of the age and of the culture,
yeah,
they are never given.
Yeah.
So they are never close in the circumstance. Like
yes, yes. So their servants, yeah, service maybe, you know, have more of that parental aspect like that. So you have those. So you can have that because within it then you also have those who are younger, who are equal, who are older, who are confidential. And so Uddhava will be a confidential, you know, within the Dorka, because then the aspect of Krishna always remembering Vrindavan, he's party to that. He appreciates any interaction on that kind of level. So, yeah. Did we answer it or we cut?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get so much off on tangents. So then we'll stop here. Yeah, so now he'll go examples of them. That's the next. Rajanath will ask him, what were examples of Adiprita and go through it.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Sanyata Gaurav Premanandi ki.